Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. This is Healing Weekend, and what we are doing is we are reinforcing a 2,000-year-old truth that by His stripes you were healed. And because God has asked us and prophetically encouraged us to be a church that is raising up the healthiest, the wealthiest, and the most influential people in the region, we've got to be diligent about doing that. I cannot expect the Lord to just prophesy that we're going to be healthy, wealthy, and influential, and then us not do what needs to be done as it relates to knowledge and physical activity, lifestyle, that is going to be incorporative of that. And so at least six times a year, we minister specifically on healing. Every single Sunday, almost, Dennis is going to be teaching us about wealth and prosperity. That is not the offering time, just so you know. That is the time that we have separated and segregated in the service for us to learn how to become what the Holy Spirit has already prophesied that you are. Man, I just laid an egg in your nest. The Holy Spirit has already prophesied that we are the healthiest, wealthiest, and most influential church, which means that in the Holy Spirit's mind and eye, you are that. You need to catch up with Him. That's why we're very purposeful about teaching those principles so that you can allow yourself to repent. Repent means to change the way you think. Allow yourself to repent, change your thinking, and become manifested what the Holy Spirit's already called you in the Spirit. Same thing with healing. You already are healed. You just might need to manifest some of that. Amen. I did this morning. This morning I woke up. Yesterday I was helping someone deconstruct a house, which is a really fun activity, by the way. And I was breaking some 2x4s, and I had the claw end of the hammer, and I was on my tippy toes, and I was as high as I could get, and I was pressing to try to get this 2x4 to break, and it broke. And I hyperextended my elbow, and it hurt like the really warm place below us. And so I immediately took, I think even Ed was, I think he was kind of standing next to me. And I under my breath, you know, not all weird and awkward, I'm, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, it was a mistake. And mistakes are covered by the cross. I receive my healing now. Thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago you knew this was going to happen and you provided grace for this moment. And I prayed until it was fine and went back to deconstructing the house for the next 2-3 hours. No problem, swung the hammer, woke up this morning, and I was like, man, praise the Lord. I was struggling to shave. I mean, it was like I had to bring my neck to my arm because it was. And here's the funny part. So I'm shaving. It's 4:30 in the morning, and I'm shaving, getting ready to get all, you know, anointed and stuff. Amen. That's a joke. I'm already anointed. So I'm getting ready to shave, and I'm like, and then it dawned on me, this is Healing Sunday. I'm like, what the heck am I? I said, in the name of Jesus, I laid hands on myself, standing naked in the bathroom. I said, in the name of Jesus, this elbow was purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the bottom line is that if I needed to shave to give you an example of what the Lord did, then I'll be happy to do that. But the point is that I just play, y'all probably watch me play the drums. I mean, it's fine. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But I had to, amen, amen, praise Jesus. But I had to enforce, because the enemy is slick. He's a trespasser. You know what trespass means? That you're somewhere you shouldn't be. He's a trespasser. You know, we trespass. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, which it's not the Lord's Prayer because the Lord never trespassed anybody, but in what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, forgive us our trespasses. He didn't say, forgive us our sins. Is this a new wrinkle in some people's brains? Forgive us our trespasses. He's already assuming that you're not sinning against folks. You know what a trespass is? Oftentimes a trespass is accidental. Why do you think people post no trespassing signs? Because if you're out walking in the woods, you don't know when a property line starts or when it doesn't. Most of the time you trespass. This is normal in marriages. Where's my wife? Do I have a... Where's my wife? Okay. Hey, baby. Woo! Thought I said something that offended her. Most of the time in marriages, this is what happens. We turn a trespass into an offense, but most of the time it's unintentional. Like, oh, I'm sorry, baby. I totally didn't know. You know what the five most important words are in any marriage? I apologize. I was wrong. If you've never said those words, we'll set up some meetings on marriage counseling. I'm sorry. I apologize. I was wrong. And most people are too proud to say they were wrong. Amen. But you're not too proud to jack up your relationship. Because let me tell you this, you're probably wrong. And I'm talking to couples. You're both wrong. Because here's the thing, I don't love my wife as well as Christ loves the church, which is what I'm commanded to do. And she doesn't honor me the way the church is supposed to honor Christ, which is what she's commanded to do. So we're both wrong. So living from each other's grace and mercy would be just a way better place to be. Because we're trespassing, most likely, each other all the time. We're not trying to. You just, like, you're out walking and you're in someone's property. Oh, my bad. Didn't know I was in your stuff. And you just back off and it's good to go. That's why the Lord said, forgive us our trespasses. He's already assuming that you're not on purpose going in and offending folks. Causing issues. Being angry. Being mean. Cursing folks, talking bad. He already assumes all those things aren't taking place. He just says, forgive us our trespasses. Because we need to forgive folks that accidentally step into our lawn. Well, that's okay. Hey, man, it's no big deal. You know, I've got a nice lawn. Some folks like to step in it. No problem. Hey, you know, while you're here, cup of coffee. Amen. Because we're supposed to be hospitable. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But we need to enforce the truths that Jesus paid for. Now, this is a theme this morning already. I just got here, up here. Just talked about it, and Pastor Dennis talked about it, that there are truths that we need to enforce. There are laws that have already been settled in heaven that we need to enforce and understand. If we're going to manifest the things that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased in His own blood. Only in the things of the Spirit do people are just willy-nilly about things. You know what? There's not a single one of you that is going to go out and argue with the law of gravity today. If you do, I'll meet you at the hospital. Oh, I'm a chaplain. I'll pray for you. Raise you from the dead if necessary. If you argue with the law of gravity, the consequences are going to be swift and painful. It's not because God hates you. It's not because God wanted to do something to stop you from flying. Well, no, we don't want the people to fly because then they'd have too much fun, so give them gravity. No, gravity is what holds this entire world together. It wasn't to stop you, it was to bless you and to help you. And then God gave us wisdom and figure out how to fly. Amen. And humans fly all the time. Amen. Gravity, the law of gravity wasn't to stop you. If you understand the law of gravity and then you add to it the laws of flight and lift and thrust and all these other things, you get to fly and have gravity. You get to be able to walk somewhere and then fly somewhere. Amen. If you understand that there are laws that are in operation right here, right now, and the spirit world, just so you all know, the spirit world is actually more real than this world. The spirit world made this world. That chair you're sitting in is less real than the angels and the Lord Jesus Christ that are in this room right now. Less real. And there's probably not a person in this sanctuary right now that believes more in the angels and the Lord Jesus and the anointing power of God than they do in the chair they're sitting in. Because we're carnal. This is really honestly what we live in and what we operate in. And so if it doesn't make natural sense, it doesn't make sense. Well, let me tell you this. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the things of the Spirit of God make no sense to the natural man. It makes no sense to your natural head that if you are financially struggling to give. That is the literal opposite wrong thing to do. But in the kingdom of God, the laws of prosperity are then immediately instant. And they are at work for you. Instant. Spirit world more real than this world. This theme of us cooperating with the laws of God that Jeff started, that Dennis ministered on, this theme, I'm going to carry this through. Just so everybody knows, I don't talk to Jess about what she's going to say in the middle of the service. I don't think I've ever talked to Ryan about anything that he's going to do. Dennis and I don't think we've ever discussed anything he's going to talk about versus anything I'm going to talk about. But there is hundreds of times that this has happened over and over and over. This common theme that goes through multiple people all through it. So let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit went through a lot of effort to make sure that you get this. I would encourage you to receive it. In Mark chapter 9, verse... Amen. Thanks for that, Deborah. There's your verse in case you didn't want to know about your natural man. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, I believe. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. This is one of those cool refrigerator scriptures. Right? Because we're believing God that our crock pot meal turns out okay. Well, all things are possible to him that believes. Little bitty box God. Believe in God that I can pay my electric bill. The creator of the universe who literally said, we'll just go ahead and make gold and diamonds and all this stuff and we'll put it in the earth and people can just dig it up and be super wealthy. God did that. And you are concerned about your electric bill. Amen. Little bitty box God. All things. Anybody know what all means in the Greek? It's a good response. Amen. So think through your life. Think through your situations. What all thing do you need a possibility to sneak up on and overtake it? The Lord's already empowered you with what you need to make that happen. It's called faith. All things are possible to him that believes. I want you to say that with me. We're going to put this in your heart. I'm going to write on the tablets of your heart. I'm going to use the pen of your tongue. So you don't hear my twang, you hear your voice. All things are possible to him that believes. To them, because you might be a her. All things are possible to them that believe. Are you ready? All things are possible to them that believe. And just in case you think that the Lord was just like on a spiritual high when he said this, let's go to Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. This is in a different context, under different conditions, with different people. So the Lord reiterated the law, the principle, and he used it in a different setting with different people under different circumstances. And Jesus, looking on them, said, with men it is impossible. Is there anybody in here that some of the things that are going on in your life, it is literally impossible for you to fix them? Okay, now, I know that we're yepping because we're all spiritual people, right? Everybody in here is a super saint. But let me say this. The reality is, it's not true for you. We live in a very technically advanced age. You realize what they can do with technology? You hold in your hand, in your pocket, on your smart device, even if your smart device is a dumb device, there is more computing power in your smart / dumb device than there was that took the entire mission of Apollo 13 to the moon and back. The computing power that you hold in your hand right now is more than all of what NASA had available to them to get a man to the moon and back. You know what that creates? Faith. You have faith in technology. And I can prove it. Because if you get a spare minute standing somewhere, what do? You don't pray in tongues. You get out your device. Because we have faith that something in that device is going to add value to our life right then, right there. Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. It's faith. We have faith in the medical community. If I get healed on Healing Sunday, praise God. If I don't, whatever. I got a doctor. I got medicine. They'll come up with a cure sooner or later, right? I mean, if God does it, that'd be awesome. Great. Amen. And I'll get a badge and I'll tell people about it. But if not, I mean, it'll work out. One of the reasons that the miracles, especially in healing, one of the reasons the miracles of healing in the Bible was so pronounced and so regular was because in the Bible, you didn't have a backup plan. There was no emergency rooms. Are you following me on this? Yeah. The doctors literally killed you faster. They'd leech you. Anybody know what that is? They just put leeches on you, suck your blood, thinking that they're fixing you. Hope your body, you're already sick, and now you're losing blood to a leech. And this was common. This was regular medical science for literally thousands of years. If you got sick back then, man, you need to pray that you didn't go to the doctor. They killed you quick. And got paid for it. It's like today a little bit. Amen. If you got sick back then, I mean, it's a death sentence. It was miracle or death. Which is why, what do you think? People literally ran up to Jesus. When's the last time you ran into the church on Healing Sunday? Now, listen, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, okay? I want you to hear me. I'm trying to bring this thing into perspective. We don't really believe in the healing power of God the way that we need to. We are not activating the laws of faith as it relates to healing and miracles the way we need to, because we have a backup plan. As long as you have a backup plan. I'm not going to go there. K is my plan. There's no other plan. She's my plan. If I didn't have her, I don't know what. I don't have a backup plan. Divorce has never been an option, and I would never one time have we allowed that word to be a part of our 23-year-old covenant. Because it's not an option, it's not an option. If sick is an option, you know, there's a covenant that we have in blood. In blood, which is more than the covenant. Her and I have a covenant naturally. We have a covenant in paper that sits in Winnebago County. Big freaking whoop. A piece of paper in Winnebago Courthouse. Like, that's binding. I mean, the government doesn't even keep their contracts. Why do I have to keep mine? We have a covenant with Jesus in blood that has produced your healing. In blood. It's written literally in blood. And we don't believe it. There is a great opportunity for us to understand that we need to reject the backup plans, because the enemy will do that. He'll come to you and say, look, God will heal you. Maybe. In time. Eventually. Kind of, partially. But the doctor, he'll take care of you real quick, real good. He'll get you some of them pills that, ooh, and you're like, you know, I could really take a pill right now because the pain is pretty intense. If you believe in a pill, then obviously there's no trust in Jesus. And listen, I'm not banging on doctors or the medical community or anything like that. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for the medical community, because it's been keeping Christians alive for a long time. If it wasn't for doctors, we'd have more than 50% dead Christians, because it's just reality that Jesus the healer is only for the weird group of people that really think Jesus is the healer. You're in a really, really weird group of people. Other people make fun of you for listening to this. They do. They literally make fun of you. Oh, you believe Jesus healed you? Okay. I've had people literally mock me because they said, I haven't seen, in 23, 24 years, that when Kay and I learned this truth about divine health, in 24 years, we have not been sick. There's been a few times we've had to fight. There's been a few days in a row that we've had to fight, but we have not been sick in 24 years. Amen. And I tell people that, and they're just like, well, you're lying. There ain't no way. I'm, okay, whatever. I mean, you believe what you want to believe. I'm just telling you, when I found out that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed 2,000 years ago, and that was for me right now, that was it. I mean, it was over. The war was over. There might be some skirmishes here and there. You know, some rogue elements of the enemy that trespass into my yard, but I just get out, you know, the 308 with a scope and just right between the eyes, you know, hit them with the word, by his stripes I'm healed, lay hands on my naked elbow on Sunday morning. Amen. Enforce the law. With men, it's impossible. You can't heal a tick. Nothing. And listen, by the way, you know that medicine, it doesn't actually heal you, cure you. It just goes in there and meddles with the chemicals in your body. If you've ever been on, and I know a lot of folks that have been redeemed by the Lord, if you've ever been on any kind of antidepressant, anything that messes with, jacks with your head, your brain was created to literally compensate for anything that you do like that. I'll just give examples. I know people that we've talked about this, and you know that there is probably nobody in here. If you've ever been put on an antidepressant or an anti-whatever, anything to mess with this up here, you know that you're probably not on one. You'll end up on 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, because one has to balance the other. Because you get antidepressant, and then you got to get that pill that wakes you up. Because you're tired, because then you got to get the pill that makes you happy, and then you got to get the pill that slows down your happiness because you don't want to be too happy, and then you got to get the pill. I mean, all they do, they just start adding all this stuff until they balance your chemicals. The problem is your body, your brain literally knows that something's messing with the chemicals, and so your brain overcompensates or undercompensates in whatever area it needs to. And then you end up on 10, 12 of these things, and then you forget to take one, and you're in the kitchen with a knife at your throat wanting to kill yourself, and you've never even thought about suicide, but for some reason today suicide seems like a really good option. I don't even know what's going on. And then they find out that you were off, you know, whatever, you had the wrong dosage of this pill, and it made you suicidal. You think that's accidental? You think that just happens? Like, oh, you took the wrong pill, you want to kill yourself? You think the devil's not involved with that at all? Dear Jesus, He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And if He does it through pills, whatever. There is a better way to balance the chemicals in your brain. His name is Jesus. He's given you the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ has never been depressed. Never. Ever been depressed. And will never be depressed. If you're depressed, here's my encouragement to you. Just go ahead and get in the mind of Christ. And then you don't have to try to mess with your natural mind. Because the natural mind receives not the things of God. We just read it. It is impossible for you to do things as a man, as a person, that most of us are trying to do. So here's what I'd like to tell you. But not with God. Because all things. Anybody know what all means? All things are possible with God. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me tell you what happens when someone operates in these principles. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see an entire chapter outlining this principle, this law of faith in operation. Now, what's really incredible is that this entire chapter is written about people in the Old Testament who had a worse covenant than you do, who did not have as much ability to activate or access power the way you do, and who did not actually have an opportunity at the redemption that you do. And yet, here's an entire chapter written about people who were not as empowered as you, not as able as you, not as saved as you, who operated in more miraculous, impossible power than you do. And me too. Okay? Not you, me. Us. We. So go read this whole chapter one time and see if it don't irritate you. At the end of it, what verse did I tell you we're going to start at, sis? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. Anybody know what now is? So when is your faith available? Now faith is. And what is this faith? It's a substance. It's not a feeling. It's not an aura. It's not a glory cloud. It's not a tingle. It's not a whatever. It's a substance. It's a literal, legitimate substance. This substance is so real that God created the universe with this substance. This whole universe was created by this substance, faith. And then he gave you, on the inside of you, literally an organ, for lack of a better word. He gave you a literal organ on the inside of you that produces this universe-creating substance called faith. You have on the inside of you an organ, like a heart, a liver, a lung. You have a spiritual organ on the inside of you that literally produces the same power that created the universe. Faith. Man, that's good. No, don't amen now. It's really good. It's really good. This is in you right now. Now faith is the substance of things. You have a hoper. On the inside of you is the imagination that God created you with. On the inside of you, you can hope. You can hope big. You can imagine things that go beyond whatever your natural mind thinks is possible. And then sometimes you're like, oh, that's just weird imagination. Come on back. You know, one of the reasons that Jesus said you have to be like a child in the kingdom of God in order to receive the kingdom is because kids can imagine. Kids have no problem believing that some guy with a cape can fly around the world and save people on trains. Kids have no problem thinking that. You know, when I watched the Superman movie, when this was old, like the old Superman movies, for all of you young people, your generation is jacking everything good, by the way. I've been wanting to throw that in there for a while. Taking all of our good stuff and jacking it. They just came out with another movie. Y'all jacking our... Quit jacking... Get your own imaginations. Stealing all the 80s stuff. Stop it. Amen. You can scrub that later. That was just a little... Had to get that off my chest. Oh, dude, we just remake our movies. And then you mess with them and make all the characters weird. Stop it. Anyway, the real Superman movies, the real ones, the Superman could go and save his girlfriend. What's her name? Lois Lane. He could go save Lois Lane, who died, by just flying up in the atmosphere and flying around the earth until the earth turned backwards. And then it turned back time. Now, I know what you're thinking, like, that don't work. Well, it worked in that movie, and it worked in my imagination. He saved her life. I believed it. Obviously, we're talking about weird stuff, okay? But I believed it as a kid. I'm like, man, if you could just fly around the earth fast enough, you could, man, think about all the good you could do. Man, I want to fly. Amen. You know, a kid can think that. You know, an adult thinks, ah, it's stupid, kid. Quit thinking like that. And then some crazy, weird, off the hinges, unimaginably dumb preacher stands up on a stage and says, all things are possible to him that believes. And you know what your adult voice says? Ah, stupid. Believe all that. This is a real pain, man. Like, you know, maybe it's probably arthritis. That's what you got arthritis. I'm telling you. Look, tomorrow's going to hurt worse. It's going to hurt worse. You're going to have to go to the doctor, and they're going to give you pills. Ooh, maybe you can go to a chiropractor, and maybe they'll fix it, and you don't have to do the doctor stuff. Ooh, and your brain. You know, that's the same imagination. It's the same imagination being used evil and wickedly. With that imagination, I could turn on my imagination, which is the Bible, hope. I could turn on my hoper, and I could say, I could wake up, and I could stand in front of the mirror, and I could lay hands on my elbow, and the power of God is going to invade my body. And tingles and glory and all kinds of stuff quietly because Kay's sleeping. It's just going to go, and it's going to fix my elbow forever. The same hoper can do that versus imagining me sitting in a chiropractor chair and some chiropractor snapping muscles and twisting bones and... Same imagination. That hoper produces the substance that you want to believe in. At the end of Hebrews, it says, and what more shall I say? Is that where it said? 32? And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, took over kingdoms by faith. If I told you to go take over a kingdom by faith, you'd be like, oh yes, amen. I'm going to pray over that one, preacher. Oh, amen. They took over kingdoms by faith, not by the sword. The sword might have been involved, but they took them over by faith. Tell me again about your headache. They took over kingdoms by faith. Subdued kingdoms. You know, we live in a kingdom of this world has a kingdom of darkness that tries to invade our territory. You know, you can subdue. Never mind. Let's move on. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, means created. Wrought means created. Created righteousness. Obtained promises. Has anybody ever had a promise, a prophetic word or a promise that you're standing on? Now, this is one of the issues that most Christians don't have. If you came up and you said, okay, pastor, I'm believing for it. You know, here's what I want to have happen. I'll say, okay, what scripture are you standing on? Well, you know, that one somewhere in the book about the thing with the stuff. Hey, just so you know, if that's the way you really honestly are interacting with your promise, it's not a promise to you. It's just some cool words in a book, and you might as well go read Mary Had a Little Lamb's Fleece Was White as Snow, because there's as much power in that as there is in what you're talking about. Unless you're standing on a scripture, you're not standing on nothing. You're floating. You better stand on a scripture. You better get one and own it. Amen. Thank you for that one clap. You better own it. This is what I call life verses. I got a whole file on my smart device about life verses. And when I'm bored or when I got some free time, I'll go through my life verses and I'll remind myself what God created me to be. Right. And some of them are about a husband. Some of them are about a father. Some of them are about being a preacher. Some are about just being a child of God. And I remind myself the promises that are about me. Because you know why? The world is going to give you some promises. Right? There's only two things that are certain in this world, death and taxes. That's a promise. The world's giving you promises. Well, you know, if anybody's going to get sick, you're going to. Man, there's a cold going around. Make sure you use hand stuff. Yeah, hand sanitizer. That'll save your life. Put faith in that. Amen. You know, someone died the other day from drinking that stuff, thinking it was going to kill. Amen. Lord, have pity on the ignorant. Through faith, obtained promises. Obtained, manifested, now faith is substance. Through faith, put substance to promise. Quenched the violence of fire. In the natural, is there a way for you to stop fire from burning up combustible things in your life? If it's combustible, there's only three things that are necessary to make a fire. Oxygen, fuel, and heat. That's it. You put those three things, and I don't care what you got. I don't care what it's made out of. I don't care what stands in the way. It will consume. Unless you are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then for some reason, fire just doesn't have the same power that it once had. Even though it was seven times as hot as any fire that had ever been in that place. And then for some reason, they didn't even smell like smoke. And what's really radical, I think, about that whole situation is you would think that, you know, the power of God was in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they withstood the fire. But what about their clothes? When did clothes get anointed by the power of God? I hope that twists you up a little bit. And it was touching their bodies. So were the ropes that burnt off.
Well, you know, I mean,
okay, your natural man is not going to receive it. If you don't apply a supernatural principle to that, it's just going to be one of those stories in the Bible that you're like, oh, yes, I'm sure that's real. Crazy. This is why we don't believe in a literal 6,000-year-old earth. The earth is 6,000 years old, beloved. I'm sorry. It's not a million years old. It's not 10,100 years old. It's the human race hasn't been here for 500,000 years and blah, 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 blah. The reason that the world wants you to believe all of that garbage is because if it can get you off the stance of Genesis 1. Are you following me? If you don't believe Genesis 1, why believe the rest? If Genesis 1 is a joke, then obviously Daniel chapter 2 and 3 and Shadrach, Meshach, that's a joke. It's a spiritual principle. The people that got healed in the Bible, they didn't really get healed. It was just a spiritual healing. Miracles passed away with the apostles. Can you give me the day? Please. Please give me the day in the Bible that God said, yes, up until now, everything's been miraculous for the last 6,000 years, 4,000 years. But today, all that changes. Now you have the Holy Spirit. Now you're less super. You have the Holy Spirit, less. So without the Holy Spirit, more supernatural. Okay. There's entire denominations that believe it. Amen. Not you. But entire denominations that believe that. Through faith, through the principles and the laws of faith that they agreed with and interacted with. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. You can be better at natural things with supernatural power. You should be the best at your workplace at what you do. That was pretty good. I didn't expect that many amens. It was only like five of you, but... You should be the best. The whole workplace should say, man, I don't know what's up with how they do it. But man, it just seems to always work for them. Hey, man. I had a car. I don't have time for stories. I had a car the other day, actually a truck, and I was not looking forward to fixing what I had to fix. Because it was renowned that this thing, you got break off bolts in the head and do all kinds of, and it's just a nightmare. And I was done in like 30 minutes. And one of the other guys was like, are you done? I said, yeah. Are you for real? You think I'm lying? How'd you do that? I prayed in tongues. You want to shut up someone in your workplace? Tell them you prayed in tongues over it. You prayed in who? Did what with this? Okay. That's why you listen to all that weird music too, ain't it? That's right. It's easier to pray in tongues when you're listening to Chris Tomlin than it is when you're listening to Metallica. I'm just letting you know. Comes out a hole. It's just smooth. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant and fight. Normal, natural things got supernatural. Turn the flight of armies of aliens. I'm not going to go there because it's too political, but the Lord actually believes that some people aren't supposed to be in some places. He made laws and rules about getting into nations and how you're supposed to operate when you get into that nation. Again, not to get all political, but those of you that don't believe in borders, you leave your door stand wide open tonight. See how that works. You believe in borders. You only want people in your house that you allow into your house because you don't want them to come in and act a fool. And it's not wrong for the United States to do the same thing. Moving right along. Women receive their dead raised to life again. By how? The faith. Women received their dead raised to life again. By how? You know, you can position yourself for a miracle. You know, most people think that a miracle is just something God does whenever he feels like it because he's bored and he just needs to, you know, kind of spice up life a little bit. So just pow! Oh, whoa, look at that. It's not fireworks on the 2nd of July. You can position yourself for a miracle.
Amen. I just tripped you all up on that one.
You can... Amen.
I'm almost out of time. I can make a mess and then just be done.
You can have a miracle when you need it. It's not determined by God. It's God's power. But you get to operate in a miraculous whenever you need to. You're the faucet. You turn it on or off. God is not the one determining whether miracles take place or not. What did he tell Moses? One of the greatest miracles in the Bible, the parting of the Red Sea. What did he tell Moses? Why are you crying to me? Y'all ever read that part? Go read it. It's fun. Why are you crying to me? Moses was whining like, Lord, we're going to get armies and a sea and cliffs and oh my God. And literally the Lord interrupted his prayer time and said, why are you crying to me? Reach out your staff. Who did the miracle? You can't even say it. You can't say it because it doesn't register in our natural person. Moses did the miracle. Moses did the miracle. God's power, God's influence, God's idea. Moses did the miracle. They needed a miracle. Moses did the miracle. In fact, God literally made him do the miracle. Because it was really important for them to get out of there at that time. Remember what Peter and John said when they walked up on the man at the gate beautiful? And he was asking alms, and Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. What did he give him? A miracle! He had a miracle, and he gave it to him. Let me tell you this. Don't buy me any Christmas presents. Give me what you got. God's placed miracles on the inside of you for me. In you. You're part of my life. God put you in my life. Sorry. He put you there. Which means that he put things in you for me. He put things in me for you. I want to give you what I got. I don't want to get it from Walmart. You don't want it from Walmart. They suck at this stuff at Walmart. You want something from God, from me. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I to you. And then after the whole thing went down, and they were testifying about what happened because everybody was freaked out about the lame man who was lame forever, was jumping and leaping and having all kinds of crazy fun in the church. For those of you that have a problem with laughing at church, you need to reread that story. He was having a great time at church, and they're like, dude, what's up with the guy? Oh, that's the guy that was 38. Oh, my Lord, what's going on? How did this happen? Remember what Peter said? Do you think it was by our holiness that made this man walk? It was by the name of Jesus and authority and the power in the name of Jesus. But we had it. It wasn't their power, it was his power. But they had it. The miraculous power that's on the inside of you, it's not God's. He gave it to you. It's yours. Now, obviously, it's his power. If I give you my truck and say, go pull out a stump in your yard, it's not your power, but it's your power. Because you're running the gas pedal and you're hooking up the chains and you're got it in drive. And sometimes you drive it better when it ain't yours. Amen? Anybody ever rented a car? Am I the only one? I had to see how fast it goes. Not you. I'm not as spiritual as you. Because I like to see how fast they go.
Amen.
I like to see if they can burn rubber. I don't do it in my truck because I take care of it. But if I loan you my truck, I'm not going to be surprised to come around the corner and see you. Ah! Woo! That was good. Oh, hey, Pastor. Just going to move a bed. Drive it like you stole it. God gave you power. God gave you miraculous power. Use it like... You're not going to run out. You're not going to break it. You probably, because you love me, you wouldn't do that to my truck. But what if I told you that truck was indestructible and I want you to drive it as hard as you possibly can? You'd be like, can I have the keys? So the power of God on the inside of you, the miraculous power of God, is indestructible. And you'll never run out. You don't have to fill it up. You don't have to rebuild it up. It's all His. It comes from Him. It's by His grace. It's on the inside of you. When do you want a miracle? If you want one now, have it! It's yours! It belongs to you. God gave it to you for that reason. And if your brain's going tilt, good! Shut the stupid thing off and get into the mind of Christ and look at things the way God did. God seen nothing and made a universe. Have you ever seen pictures of things out there that we have never seen with our eyes? It's beautiful. God made beautiful things so far out there that you can't even literally reach them with anything that we can reach it with, in galaxies and places far out. That is so beautiful. I want you to think about it. He did that just to show off. It's so beautiful. Things that you wouldn't even, thousands of years of human history, didn't even know it was out there, and it was this beautiful, amazing nebulouses and all these crazy, wonderful, awesome things that He just made because it was beautiful. You think He won't give you things for healing in your body? Healing in your minds, healing in your relationships, healings in your children, healings anywhere you need them? Like, God's going to hold back. He's going to make a nebulous, beautiful, amazing, and hold off on your body? On your mind? Come on now, that's not my God. That's not my God. My God's good. He's more good to people than He is to a universe. He loves you more than it. You're the center of His world. He never left heaven to come and die for the universe. He left heaven to come and die for you. It's your miracle. You can have it. So we're going to take communion together. And here's what I want you to do. I want these to be the elements of things hoped for. The substance of things unseen. I want you to take these elements by faith. You know, what's really incredible is that the Scriptures say that for this one reason, I'm not saying this is the only reason, but Paul said, for this one reason, many in the body of Christ are sickly and many die prematurely because they don't know, they don't operate in the power of the communion the way they should. So what that tells me is that there is something that is in there that's not juice. And there's something that's in there that's not cracker. So if your natural mind is taking juice and a cracker, you're just going to get hungry. But if your spiritual man is taking substance, you're going to have a miracle. Amen. I know it's out there. But so is the power of God. All right, ushers, will you please minister the elements to the people? I really wanted to preach a sermon. I'm writing a book called Positioned for a Miracle. And it's based upon the story of 2 Kings chapter 4 about the Shunammite woman who was the second instance in the Bible or possibly the second instance in all of human history of someone being raised from the dead. The reason I didn't use the first instance is because I really believe that Elijah, in the first instance, which is 1 Kings chapter 17, when Elijah raised the boy from the dead, if you remember that, Elijah laid on the boy three times, and that was the first raising of the dead in Scripture. And the reason I didn't use that Scripture is because Elijah basically started off that whole thing by blaming God for killing the kid. And then he begged for the power of God to raise the kid from the dead. I'm like, dude, make up your mind. In other words, his doctrine was really jacked up.
You know God still does miracles with bad doctrine? Anybody know that? Anybody think your doctrine is perfect? I'm looking for the hands. Nobody? Okay. So, you know, God still does miracles even with you got bad, jacked up doctrine. You still need to agree with the laws. But you can have bad, jacked up doctrine and still God does miraculous things for you. Praise God. The Bible says that the Lord preserves the simple. That's King Jamesy that says God still takes care of the stupid people. Amen? Some of us are like, amen. That's a good verse. That needs to be a life verse for some of us. God takes care of stupid people. That's the Steve Castle Revised Standard Amplified Version, but it's still a good verse. God takes care of stupid people. I was stupid for a bunch of years. God took care of me. I should have died. I can't tell you. I should have died. I mean, it was a regular occurrence for me to should have died. And God took care of the simple. Amen. Amen. The reason that the 2 Kings chapter 4 story to me is a better story was because there was incredible amounts of true, legitimate doctrine that was released in that instance, and it was a really powerful, miraculous miracle for the second person to be raised from the dead in the Bible. Think about that. There's no guarantee that that gal in that story even knew that anybody had ever been raised from the dead. She was a Shunammite woman, and the first person that was raised from the dead was a Jewish person. They weren't even in the same race. So there's no guarantee that this gal knew anything about what happened. Which means that she literally believed God for a miracle she didn't know was even possible. I mean, humanly, it was an impossibility. And she believed God. Elisha was just the donkey that the Lord rolled in on. It is a powerful, I would love to preach that sermon. Anybody give me 5 minutes? Play a dentist trick. Nobody? Look at that. Not a hand. Bro, you got like 10 hands when you said it. Anyway, I'm writing a book. Y'all can buy the book. I don't know how much it'll cost. Hopefully it'd be free. Believe in God for my own printing press. The Lord Jesus, on the night before he was betrayed, had supper with his intimate and close friends. Kind of like this room. And he took up the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body." Now he called those things that be not as though they were. He operated in faith in the Last Supper. The reason I know that is because his body wasn't broken when he said that. He said, "This is my body broken for you." So in the way that he operated with faith and the way that he distributed to the disciples the communion is the same way that we can operate in faith. He operated in faith looking forward to something that was going to happen. We can operate in faith looking backwards at something that has happened. His body has been broken for you. Jesus didn't waste his body. This is for you. So I want you to look at it. I want you to see the Lord being personal about this. I want you to break it. Break it. Because it was broken for you. Now, is the Lord broken now? That means something happened between the breaking and the finished work. Now take it. The reason we eat this is because his body becomes part of your body now. Now his DNA is your DNA. His cells are your cells. That was his body. Broken for you. His brokenness goes into you. And now the finished work of the cross comes along and says, "This is the cup." The blood of the New Testament. The New Covenant. Written in blood. This cup proves that you are righteous and truly holy. Well, I don't feel like, look, I didn't ask you how you feel. I'm telling you what Jesus said. If you want to argue with him, that's fine. You take it up with him. But he said, you are righteous and truly holy. And it's written in his blood.
So if right now you got something that you think is hindering you from releasing the miraculous in your life right now, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has washed you in His blood. Let me tell you something. You've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are washed.
This is the covenant that He has with you, that your sins and your iniquities He will remember no more. So I'd encourage you not to remember them. Take the cup and receive righteousness and true holiness.
Amen.
Now the miraculous is activated. You participated. You activated the laws that are necessary. You did something that went beyond your brain. Communion makes no sense to the natural man. So whatever your miracle is, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I release that from the inside of you. I release substance. Right now, I stir up your hoper. I stir up that spiritual organ. And I release, by the authority of the shepherd of this flock, I release right now the substance of faith into your life, into your body, into your circumstances. I release that substance from that hoper on the inside.